Our speaker today, Pat T, is from San Diego, California, and his home group is Big Book Awakening in San Diego. Pat will be speaking for 45 minutes, followed by a 15-minute Q&A, and the title of his message is Your Prayer Life on Life Support? Welcome, Pat. The floor is yours.
Oh, Annie, thank you. Pat Alcoholic, I'm so happy to be here. Tamara, thank you. Though that was so loving and kind, and I appreciate what you said. You know what? And for all of us on this call, God has already been blessing us. I cannot tell you how excited I am to talk about what we're talking about today. It seems like the only things that God allows me to talk about is my relationship with Him and how God could take me further in that relationship with Him. And the more that I experience that freedom with God, this relationship with God, I show up presently in other people's lives in ways that are indeed miraculous. It is not my, I'm not the miracle. We're going to be talking about it. God's the miracle. And life is truly a delight. I got accused a couple days ago. I had one of my guys that works with me on my employee, and I'm a compliance officer for a job. Come on, is that a joke? But I'm a compliance officer for a big firm here in San Diego, and the guy said to me, he said, "Pat, you're just too happy. You're just too happy, you know." And I was thinking about that, and we were laughing a little bit, obviously. And I think the reason that I delight in life today is that I have a profound experience. I give all the credit to God that I know deep down in my soul, every fiber of my being, that my papa is absolutely radically in love with me. I am not a mistake. I am his masterpiece, as are each of us on this call. Every single one of us is perfectly designed by God. Perfectly. We are his masterpiece. And it's a love story in the big book, going from the beginning all the way through 164. It's a love story that Bill's trying to lay out. Guys, you could have a life beyond anything you've ever imagined. Just crack the door open, and you're going to fall in love with God, because you're going to discover that God has loved you all along. So now, on to, is my prayer life on life support? And you know what? If I'm honest, and I hope I am, God help me, I've had many times in my life where I feel like my prayer life's on life support. Like, you know what? It just felt bland. It didn't feel like I was connecting. It just felt off. And for a long time, that I thought is that prayer, for it to be effective, I have to be emotionally moved. Okay, you get what I'm saying? Prayer, if I had linked together, if I don't feel emotionally moved, I'm not praying right. I'm not experiencing prayer right. It's not going right. And over the 21 and a half years of what God has struck me sober and keeps me sober, that's not the truth. God says you're going to have lots of periods in your life, Pat, that are indeed hard, that are just arduous. They're strenuous. And you know what? There's just times where you're trudging, and that's a good word in the big book, and it's not a bad thing. And I love, Tamara, what you said, that we pray unceasingly. It becomes, here's a question. Is my life a life of prayer, or do I just pray about my life? Is my life a life of prayer, or do I just pray about my life? See, I think that prayer is all about asking God for what I need. And that's part of it. But I think the bigger picture for me today is that actually what God is trying to do is give me what I need. There's a difference. I pray to God about what I think I need, but God wants to give me what I need. And sometimes they're different. Have you ever gotten a gift that, or I mean, you ever strive for getting a something that you really, really desired, and after you got it, you're going, it wasn't all it's cracked up to be? Have you guys ever had that experience where you get something and later on you're just going, why did I even bother? And I think what God does in our lives by way of example is he's constantly giving us what we need, not what we are praying for. I know it sounds sort of weird. God asks us to seek him, ask him, knock, keep on keeping on, and that whole variety. But there's where I want to take us just for a moment is some of the stuff that goes on. I did not invent prayer. God did. It was God's idea to have prayer with his creation. It was God's idea. It wasn't our idea. It was God's idea. The results of prayer have happened to all of us before we were even praying. We were all praying for sobriety. We were all praying for our families. We were all praying for this, that, and the other. And God struck us sober before any of us even knew anything about this big book or anything, any of us knew anything about these 12 steps. God was already in the business of meeting our true deepest needs before we even asked. And I really thought that what the answer was for my life was, God, if you just get me sober, life would be grand. And I prayed that prayer for 11 years and I had zero results. God, please strike me sober. God, please get me sober. God, stop this nightmare. God, please, I'm tortured. God, please, please, please. And I'm not going to go into my story right now, but the bottom line was I had 11 years, my last 11 years of drinking, where I was praying to God on almost a daily basis when I come out of a blackout. And I'm asking God to strike me sober. I thought that's what I needed. And God was ministering and doing stuff in my heart that was even deeper. He said, Pat, what you need is a relationship with me. In page 29 of the big book, it says the whole purpose of the stories is to have a re how we established our relationship with God. One of the first things that happened to me in my sobriety when I started doing this work is that my sponsor taught me the set-aside prayer. Some of you guys know it, and there's a lot of versions out there, but the set-aside prayer that was given to me, and it's really founded in the big book. I mean, it's all over the big book, especially in We Agnostics. There's just references to it all over the place. And the prayer goes like this: God, please set aside in me everything that I think I know about AA, the 12 steps, recovery, spiritual matters, whatever the case may be, so I can have an open mind for a new experience. Amen. And each one of the steps, as we would go through the steps, my sponsor, he would pray a version of that set-aside prayer every time we met. And what he established with me, which I do with my sponsees, is I pray when we start out the meeting. I might even pray during the meeting with my sponsee about something going on. And I pray when we conclude the meeting. I want my sponsee to know that life is bathed in prayer. It's not something of the exception, it's the norm. It's normal to talk to God. It's not abnormal to talk and listen and fellowship with our Creator. It's normal. And, over the years, I've read all these books. I got more. I bet I've got, and I'm not exaggerating, I bet I got 40, 50 books just on the subject of prayer. And I want to put to bed something that always feels like a burden whenever we talk about the subject of prayer. And that is, there's the exact formula that works. And if you don't use the exact formula, your prayer is not going to be effective. What I've experienced over the last 21 and a half years is that's just not true. What I've experienced with prayer is this, and if there's one takeaway I want to push over towards, there's a couple of things I want to tell you about Sam Shoemaker and how he interacted and loved Bill Wilson up and how he loved Abby Thatcher up. But I want to talk about what I think is an essential in prayer, and this is that God invites me to pray about everything and anything with him 24/7. There is nothing off limits. Not my sex life, not my financial life, not my friendship life, not my employment life, not my fellowship, not anything in my life is off limits to God. God is not a prude. There's no, you can't say, oh, Pat, don't talk about that with me. I can't go there. I talk to God about everything in my life. Everything. The only condition that I've ever seen with God about answer to prayer is this. Pat, come to me. Can't wait to hang out with you. I got a rocking chair and your seat is empty until you come to sit down with me, my little fella. I love you. Can't wait to be with you. You just, I can't wait. I'm not experiencing a full day unless I see my Pat. And so I go sit in the rocking chair in my mind with God and we start talking. And he said, hey, got a question for you, Pat. Anything you want to talk about today is great. One condition. Are you willing to will to have my way with the answer? Are you willing to be willing to let my way, God's way, be my answer? You know, I find it interesting that step 11, that the only thing that we're supposed to be praying about is the knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out. Well, wait a minute, God, what about my emotional, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I had major depressive disorder. I literally was diagnosed with major depressive bipolar, or not bipolar, excuse me. Oh gosh, I can't even think of the name now. But anyway, a lot of depression. From the time I was 14 on, a lot of depression, really serious stuff. And I just I God, can't I want to pray about that. You know, in the big book, if you're to read it and be really strict, it sounds like you can't pray about anything except for the knowledge of God's will and the power to carry it out. Well, as you go through the big book, you know that that's not quite, that's not true. It's not inclusive. It's not restrictive. In fact, one of the things that I do on a daily basis, and this will be a little bit of potpourri, so don't worry if you feel like I'm bouncing around. I am bouncing around because prayer bounces around. Okay. So one of the things I pray about in the morning when I get up is for the still suffering alcoholic. I have a lot of people in my life whose my heart is heavy with right now. Tyler and I have some people in our life that we pray almost on a daily basis together about certain individuals that we're just concerned about life and death. Like we'll talk to each other, says, I haven't heard from him. You think he's alive or dead? Says, I don't know. We can't find him. We pray about people that are still suffering. That is one of the things in the big book on page 164 that says we ought to do. Well, here's another thing we get to pray for in the big book. It says my motives. Pray, Pat, about your motives of your motives, even before you start the day. Well, what does that mean? Well, in step 11, it says I get up in the morning, and before I even start thinking about my day, God, please divorce any motives that are going on in me that are full of self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking motives. Remove those things from me. So put my thinking on a higher plane. So I get to pray about the still suffering alcoholic. I get to pray about my motives of the day. So they're put on a higher plane. I get to pray about my spouse. Karen's my spouse. And Karen and I, God bless her, we're getting ready to celebrate 18 years here later on this year. And that's a miracle if you knew me. I mean, it's a flat out miracle. And she loves me. That's even a double miracle. And I love her, a triple miracle. And I would marry her again. That doesn't happen with a guy like me. And I get the privilege every day of taking my Karen to my papa. And I say, God, please show me the way of patience and tolerance and kindliness and love for Karen. That's on page 83 of the step nine. It's a prayer. Page 83, step nine is a prayer. And why do I pray that? Because I made a commitment, a prayerful commitment in my sex ideal when I wrote it down in my fourth step. I say, God, please help me walk towards this ideal. And part of my ideal is to love Karen like God himself. No, I don't think I'm God. And no, I don't have a ego complex about that. I'm saying that what I've experienced with God, the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the power of God, the passion of God, the persistence of God. Oh God, please let me give that to Karen. However you could transmit that, please let me give that to Karen, because that's my sexual ideal. I pray about my sexual ideal on a daily basis. I have for years. And as God changes it, as he morphs it into more to be about him and less to be about me, it changes. And I pray about that too. We pray unceasingly. We pray all the time about everything and everyone and all things. There are some other examples. I fall into fear. And the answer of falling out in the fear is not to will myself out of it, is to go, oh God, I have no more answers. Oh God, I am dry. I am broken. I can't go on with this fear. It's killing me. God, only you can remove this fear. Please do so. Walk with me as we're walking out of this fear. Oh God, please. It's a fear prayer in the fourth step. God, this person literally drives me crazy. And I know that in the fourth column of the fourth step, you're asking me to pray for this person like he's sick, that he's spiritually sick. How do I do that? Oh God, please let me look at him as you look at him. That he's your boy, he's your girl, and that you want me to pray for him because he's suffering from spiritual sickness just like I am. Please, God, please, God, please, God, take me to a place where I view this person like you view this person, with care and tolerance and patience and love. Oh God, please let me be useful to him or her. And what I find starts happening as I'm doing some of these examples, praying constantly about everything, everywhere, all day long, is that God starts changing me. Page 19, Bill says, hey, you can't, we were talking about before the meeting started, with how this meeting has its name, subtraction, addition by subtraction. Bill, I get amazed, with some of the stuff that's gone on in Bill's life, but there was people praying for Ebby when he went over to see Bill. Do you realize that the Oxford Group members were praying for Ebby as Ebby approached Bill? Now you have to see that in some of the memoirs of, Sam Shoemaker and some others about what they do in preparation for going to help somebody doing soul surgery. But there's a spiritual platoon of people that are praying for us as we do stuff. All right. And there's some other things that were popping up. How about selfish self-centeredness? How do I mean, let me, I'm sorry, I jumped around. So Bill in his story says, listen, this has got to be on page 19. You've got to practice these principles, Pat, the spiritual way of life in all of your affairs, your home, your occupation, your affairs. Home, where you live, where you, the most real that you'll ever be is at your home, hopefully, right? Your occupation, where you spend an inordinate amount of time conversing and dealing with the world in terms of what you do for a living. And then your affairs, just living life with people, with situations, with what's going on. Part of how we do that is we saturate it in prayer. I talk to God. God, what do you want to have happen out of this situation? What do you want going on? Selfish self-centeredness in the fourth step, it says that's the root of my troubles. What's the answer? Well, it's not cognitive behavioral therapy. It's not seven classes and reading 14 books. It says without God, we're sunk. Without God's help, it's too much. God, please, in the third step prayer, God, please relieve me of the bondage of self. I always think of being in a dungeon with my hands over my head, hung up by a chain, and it's cold and it's dark, and I'm scared to death, and my arms are being torn out of the socket, and I'm dying. That's what selfishness is doing to me. And I'm saying, God, relieve me of this. Relieve me of this selfish self-centeredness. Oh God, don't leave me where I'm at. Don't let me be so absorbed in my little plans, my little designs. Oh God, let me have a heart for people. Let me have a heart for your world. Let me be about packing into the stream of life. What does that even mean? It means the power of God coursing through my very veins being poured out in this world. On page 49, it says that I am God's intelligent agent. I am God's spearhead of God's ever advancing creation. I get to participate on a daily basis, a newly created day, just for today, God's creation. What is he doing in my sponsee's life? What's he doing in my life? What's he doing in Karen, my wife's life? What's he doing in my children's life? What's he doing at my business life? What's he doing in my financial life? God, where do you want me to go today? Now, I want to talk about for a second is what gets me jammed up in my prayer life. Now, this all sounds great, what we're talking about, all these prayers saturated throughout the steps, 11 step, 10 step. We talked about the four step and some stuff. We talked about the man who's still suffering that we talked in the 12 step. We talked, all this good stuff. And we know that deep down inside of us is the fundamental idea of God, and only there can it be found. But what gets me jammed up? Well, it's my pride. I don't want God's way. I'm enough. I'm going to just check in with God when the going gets rough. God's going to be my cosmic consultant. It's my fear, and my fear is real sometimes. God, I'm not sure if I want to pray with this to you about this because you might change me. And God, I don't want to be changed. I want to be comforted. You get me on that? A lot of times when God's doing surgery, soul surgery in me, it's uncomfortable. When we're doing new things with Big Book Awakening in San Diego, when we started rolling out workshops, when we started rolling out meetings and taking people, multiple people through the steps at the same time, man, you would have thought that we were doing the unmentionable. Youngster, remember some of the resistance we've had over the years? It was crazy. And it's uncomfortable sometimes when you're taking what you believe is the will of God, the direction of God, and you've cleared away what you believe are unselfish. Is it unselfish? Is it honest? Is it pure? Is it loving? And you get a thumbs up with the Oxford Group Four Absolutes on those things, and you go forward on it. Well, sometimes it's still uncomfortable. I had an estranged relationship with my half brother for over 12 years. He got locked up in prison for a long time, and he got locked up there for good reason. And when he came out, I didn't have any relationship with him for 12 years. And I didn't think I had any resentments toward him, and I've talked to Tyler about it, and we had 10 step about stuff, and we do this, and we do that, and a few others. And what ended up happening is that I kept praying about it because it kept coming up in my mind. And I said, okay, God, it sounds like you want to talk about this. So I'm going to put it on, my conversation with you time. And so I started praying about this guy. And I said, what do you want me to do? And nothing was really coming. So I didn't act on anything. But pretty soon it was obvious that God was calling me to reestablish conversation. Well, I got to tell you, I had to be willing. And it wasn't like I wanted to give him the big firm hammer of justice. I wasn't that. I wasn't judging him. I just didn't have any big compulsion to go see him. And then, weirdest thing happened. I suffer two brain clots in my head. And it took me into the hospital in August of this last year. And, the doctors, they were concerned about whether I was going to, get off the table. It was a life and death thing. And it is what it is. And I'll tell you more about that in just a moment. But out of that experience, my half brother reached out to me and called me. I received the phone call, and I'm just before I picked up the phone because I saw who it was coming in. And I go, God, I guess this is the time. Thank you. And we started talking. And since then, we're back in relationship, we're back in conversation, and that's been going on now since August. And that's a miracle of God that I did not design. That's a miracle. And the other miracle, which sounds small, remember what I said about praying about everything and everything in your life, anything and everything? One of my fears in life is claustrophobia. I mean, there's some reason in my history why that's what it is. But I suffer from not a little bit of claustrophobia, but I mean off the charts. It took me a while to learn how to get onto an airplane and not freak out because I thought I'd be that guy trying to get the door open, and jump out of the plane. And so I have to go in for I had a battery of MRIs on this brain clot stuff because it kept I had three I ended up having three and they're all over my my head and my body and some other places and I had an aneurysm in my heart and I had all this stuff going on, right? I had all this crazy stuff. And they had to do all these tests, ultrasounds and scans and then MRIs, which I'm not a fan of MRIs because the MRI that I had to be in was a closed MRI. You guys know what I'm talking about? I mean, it's a stinking cocoon. There's not enough room for you to move your head. And then they put this halo around your head and you're in there and the thing is right on top of your nose and you can't even hardly breathe normal. And he told me, and I said, well, that's no problem. Just give me the happy drug so I could just go to sleep and you go do your stuff for 45 minutes. So no. I have to have you awake because we have to have you do things for your brain while we're doing this. And I go, what? You mean I'm going to be awake during, oh yeah. And if I decided no, it'd be like 3 months before I get another slot to go into the MRI. And I said, okay, give me a second. I go into this little room and I got down on my knees and I said, God, you and I know that I'm going to freak out and they're going to have the first MRI accident and their MRI is going to be exploded. I am not doing this. God, you know I have to do this. This is an impasse. You got to make a path where there is no path because I don't see any way to do this. God, please, I give this to you. Amen. I got up in faith. I go lay in that table. They roll me in. I go, God, now or never. And as God is my witness, I was relaxed in a prayerful, loving attitude the entire way through. I have never experienced such a release from claustrophobia. God does this stuff on a routine basis. See, God delights in seeing us not in pain. It's not God's idea to have us living in pain, torture in our minds. God loves us. God loves us. And he cares about everything in my life. And the more I pray about everything in my life, I realize that God cares about everything in my life. There's nothing off limits. I pray about the health of my dogs. I love my dog. Anybody that knows me knows I'm a German Shepherd lover. My wife and I have been rescuing shepherds for 20 some, 20 years. I love my dogs. I pray about their safety every time we go out at night and walk. And as I'm walking with God, I'm thanking God for my dogs. Why? Because God's so good. And the more I spend time hanging out and talking with God, the more I fall in love with God because I realize how good God is. God is kind and he's loving and he's faithful and he's gentle and he's good and he's committed. He's committed to growing us up. God is committed to growing us up. Page 25. We are not to live in barely making it in life. We are supposed to be witnesses of the miracles of what God is doing in our life in sobriety. We are supposed to live large. We are supposed to live abundantly. We are supposed to live with this sense of when I describe my life to somebody, says, it's a miracle. The power of God in my life on a daily basis, not last month, not last year, not 14 years ago, today is a miracle. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I also get to experience and witness other people that I know without a doubt that my Creator has entered into my heart. God is incredibly, intensely personal. He is an all-powerful, all-loving, all-caring, all-protecting God. I pity the fool that comes up against me and God. I pity the situation that thinks the situation could get outflank Pat. And God, and what's going on. See, I'm God's boy. You're God's girl. You're God's boy. And God is all in for you. He's all in. The biggest bargain we get is I give him my fractured, dislocated, broken, disease-filled self that's full of rebellion and not wanting God, putting my finger up in the air against God and telling everybody in the world that God's not real, God doesn't exist, and you can't, there's no way you can have a relationship with God, and that's just all bunk. And why don't you get down to the real truth about how this ANA thing works? because I don't understand you guys, right? I don't understand any of it. And God says, give me all of that. Give it all to me, Pat. No limit. Give it all to me. Everything you know about yourself. Well, God, here's another thing. I don't believe in miracles. Well, God, if miracles are there, how come my baby sister died? How come my mom was a drug addict, alcoholic, and died basically that way and couldn't even go out of the house? She couldn't even show up as a mom. How come that's going? God, if you're so good, then how come I get molested as a mid-tier teenager and young adult? How did that happen continuously? And it was from a person in the church, God, one of your people. And I had all these things going on. And God says, give it all to me, Pat. There's no limit. Give it all to me. What else? What else? Well, that's about it. And I went through my list. He says, here's what I'm going to do, Pat. You just gave me all of you. And it's the best deal I've had. It's incredible. And here's what I'm going to do. You gave me all of you. I could do no less. I'm going to give you all of me. All of me, Pat, I'm giving you my very spirit, my very love, my very vision of how life should look and be. Pat, I'm going to take you from the actual to the real. I'm going to take you from what you see physically, what you hear physically, what you smell, taste, touch physically. And I'm going to catapult you. I'm going to catapult you into the fourth dimension, Pat. And you're going to experience real. And real is going to transform your life. You're never going to be the same. Pat, and I said, God, you don't understand. That sounds so good, but you don't understand who I am. I can't love people. I can't even love myself. How in the world are you ever going to use a guy like me? I'm so consumed with me, I can't even get out of my own way. He says, Pat, that's part of the stuff you gave me. It's okay. God, it's not okay. And here's what happens with the more time I spend with God. I want to have God's character. I want to have God's character. I want to have God's way showing up in my life. I go into a situation, I find myself naturally saying today, oh God, this is your situation, whatever you want to do with it, let me get out of the way. And would you just do some God stuff here? I'm not sure what you're going to do, but oh God, I need you to do it. God, I don't know how to reach this person. God, please reach this person. And he'll say to me on the side and a smile on his head and a smile on his face. I could feel it. He says, Pat, if I didn't know better, I think you're caring about that person and he means life and death to you. How did that happen? And I go, God, quit pushing, quit funning me. And what I mean by that is God plays with me and he says, Pat, see, your heart's changing. You actually care about other people. Hey, Pat, we've been talking about plans of others and designs in other people's lives. We've been talking about the vision others have of their lives and how you can contribute, how you can be effective in their life, how you can be useful in their life, how you can be of real help in their life, bringing them to me. Wow. We haven't been talking a whole lot about your little plans and your little designs today, Pat. I guess that's another miracle I just did. God, thank you. I can't even believe it. My insides are changing. I can't even believe it. You're changing my insides. God, what are we going to do today? And see, I'm onto this adventure with God. And the coolest thing about God is it just keeps getting bigger. God gets bigger. It doesn't get smaller. It doesn't get routine. It's not a formula. I'm not trying to do 7 ways of the perfect prayer life. I'm not trying to do 3 ways of the perfect meditation. Do you realize that meditation and prayer for me are joined like this? They're going on at the same time, all the time. Two-way prayer that was talked about by Streeter and Frank Buckman and championed by, what's his name? John Batterson and a few others. Two-way prayer is all about praying and meditating and thinking and listening and experiencing the vibrancy and the realness and the love of God, saying, God, what about this situation? Let's think about it together. Could we? Can you help me get out of my own head and into your head about what's going on? You know, one of the prayers of the big book is my God is Jesus Christ. I'm just a fact. That's who my God is. And I don't preach it here to you right now. I'm not asking you to believe what I believe, but I'm telling you that my experience with the intimacy of God wouldn't happen if that wasn't the case for me. And one of the things that God talks to us about is that he will give us his very mind. He will give us his very heart. And I get a chance to ask God about things that are too big for me. I get a chance to talk to God about things that hurt too much. I get a chance to sit and wait when I have too much confusion, too much baffled condition about what's going on. And I have many situations in my life that go on as too much to talk about in this short time that in my business or my relationships with people, I just go, God, this just seems crazy. I don't see a way out. This whole thing, I don't see any order in this. It feels like chaos. I don't know what you want to do, but I'm going to lay it before you because my step six position says, am I willing to be willing to let God remove from me anything he finds objectionable? And if I am, then I'm going to say my seven step prayer. And part of what I find objectionable today is when I don't want what God wants. I find that objectionable. I ask God to remove that. I said, God, please today, will you help me want to want what you want? Simple prayer. God, help me be willing to be willing to be willing to have your way. And one of the things I'm learning over in prayer, you know, for a long time now, is God gets pretty quiet when I get an answer from God in a direction. By the way, I've never heard God's ultimate or physical voice, or I've never seen God. It's all in my spirit to spirit. Okay. I'm not saying that if you've had an experience with that, wonderful for you. Wonderful. I haven't, but that doesn't diminish my faith or my experience of the consciousness of the presence of God in my life. Okay. But I'll have these situations that come up and I'm asking God for direction. And I don't see which way to go, and God somehow does some movement inside of my heart that makes it unreal. And I just lost part of my train of thought, so I'm not too worried about it. It must not have been that important. But the next thing I wanted to talk about, just for a minute, we only got 7 minutes left, and this is a hard one. Okay, the reign of God. Bill makes a reference to it in his story, and it's something that Bill struggled with before he gave his life to God. He said, I don't care how loving God is. I don't care how loving his sway is in my life. And if you look up the word sway and you look at it a little bit, it really means rule. God is asking me, do you really, really, really want me to rule in your life? See, Pat, I'm all in with you. And I know that you gave me everything you know about yourself to me. I get that. Thank you. But each day I'm going to expose more and more and more of who you are, which is in me. You're my child. But I'm also going to show you some stuff that I want you to have changed. I'm going to give you the power, but it's going to be some stuff where I'm asking you to accept my way, even if it looks a little bit strange. I want you to let me rule in your heart. And one of the things that Sam Shoemaker said, and I got my thought back. Thank you. Thank you, God. older I get, that happens a lot. Sam used to say to Ebby and Bill, after you've given everything you know about yourself to everything you know about God, Just start trying to do what you believe the will of God is. Sam Shoemaker, Calvary Episcopal Church, kept it really simple. He was the Oxford Group leader for the United States back in the day. Frank Buckman, he met Frank Buckman, gave his life to God through a ministry with Frank Buckman in China, you know, years and years and years before, decades before. And he had such a, just a sweet love affair with God himself, Sam did. And he said, listen, fellas, you don't have to make it complicated. Just do what you think the will of God is and see if it's not good. See if it's just not satisfying. See if it just doesn't make you feel whole. And what they didn't know is that Sam was actually just quoting out of Romans 12, 1 and 2. He says, hey, listen, if you do the will of God, you're going to find out that it's good, acceptable, and powerful. It's good, acceptable, and pleasing. It's whole. It's going to make you feel whole, Pat. If you do things my way, you're going to be satisfied deep in your soul. If you do things my way, you're going to stand back and go, that's good. I've never had to say that's bad. I've never had to say after I followed God and obeyed, where I come back away from it and go, man, that stunk. That was not satisfying. That sure left me wanting. And I've never had to say ever, and I mean ever, it didn't take me closer to being whole. I want relief in my soul. I want release from the chaos in my head. I want the power to show up. I want to have the courage to be vulnerable and authentic with others. I want to be fearless in being known by others, and I want to be anonymous and not needing to be given credit by anybody. Right? These are the things that God puts in our heart. And the amazing thing is the things that I'm talking about today, ladies and gentlemen, all of it's in the big book. None of the stuff that we're talking about is extraneous to the big book. Now, is it included in the Bible? Is it included in the big book? Oh yeah. And some in deeper, you know, one of my favorite places to go when I'm learning about prayer is the Psalms in the Bible. Oh God, search my heart. Take a look at my life. And anything that's a little bit wonky, would you please take it out? See, you know what? When I get obedient, one of the things that God says is, how current are you in your inventory, Pat? How current are you in your step work? I believe, Kyle and I, we've talked about it for years, a lot of us on here, I go through the steps often, all 12 steps. Not, I don't live in 10, 11, and 12. Why would I only live in 10, 11, 12? What, I only want a third of the program? Why would I do that to myself? Why would I do that? Get all 12, man. Go for gusto. And so I go through these steps, and God's saying to me, what's your current inventory look like? Where's your present day agnosticism look like? Pat, I want to take care of that. I want to sweep that out. I got lots of work to do with you, and I love doing it. I'm the one doing the work. I only need you to show up. Just show up, turn the lights on, crack the door open. I'll do the heavy lifting. You're not going to do it. I'm going to do it. Pat, appreciate your efforts, but it's not helpful. I'll do it. Just cooperate. Hey, Pat, how are you doing on those amends? Are all your amends done? I love you so much, but I can't talk to you about your half brother until you make the amends that you didn't even know you had to make because you were totally asleep to it. And you're darn near 21 years sober and you didn't even know that you were in a place where you needed to make an amends. And I had to orchestrate a health concern in your life to open up the door because I'm going to take you to the real constantly because I'm a real God. I deal with reality. I'm your creator. I'm not leaving you half-baked. I'm going to take all of you. I'm going to take everything in you and I'm going to make you new. And I make that amends to my half-brother. I said, you know what? I never even knew how much I left you in the lurch. And you're in prison. And people have been in a prison. It's not a safe environment. And I left you there. Without thought or prayer or communication, I left you there. How do I make that right? And I'm not going to go into the detail because we're running out of time, but I'm making it right. I made it right with him and I did it. Why? Because God in prayer brought it up and I cooperated. Inventory, amends, sitting there saying, I can't do it, God can. Step six, step seven, oh God, make a miracle happen. Take me further down this road in this archway to freedom, this freedom arch. God, the keystone, you are my father. You are my director. You are my principal. Take me deeper in those relationships. Oh God, you are my employer. Oh God, you are my creator. Take me deeper. Take me deeper. God, I need your protection and care. I need your identity. Oh God, teach me about your identity that I belong to you. I'm your kid. God, I want to live. I want to live and I want to love. I want people to know the love of God. I want them to know they are loved by me, and I want them to know they are loved by you. That's what I want to be known for. That's my passion. Create God, go do miracles. And God, please let me be part of. And I love you. Amen. Life's a prayer. That's it.
My name is B, and I'm a grateful recovering alcoholic. Thank you, Pat, for a beautiful message. And I can see that we already have hands. So, Michael, please come in with your question.
Michael,
Hey, Pat, thank you so
good to see
much.
you, buddy.
Michael, alcoholic, good to see you. Hey, so I have a couple of questions, and I sent you a private text, but let me ask one online here. You said you pray about everything and anything. And the big book says something that I've always struggled with, where it says to not pray for our own selfish ends. Most of us have tried, I'm butchering it, but most of us
That's
have
right.
tried.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you, and you know the quote. So how do you discern whether or not you're praying for your own selfish ends? Or you're praying for your dogs. You're praying for the Germans, aren't you? I mean, okay, you're praying for the Germans, but aren't you praying for your selfish, your, you know, how do you find that line there? How do you find that? Or do you not agree with that verse in the big
No,
book?
I agree. It's a great question, Michael. I didn't really talk about that. You think that on this subject I would, but the reality is I start to lose interest in my selfish things. And so it didn't really fall, it didn't come up in the prayer life. But what I think Bill was driving at on that is anything that's trying to further my kingdom versus God's kingdom in my life. If me being healthy and alert, and I prayed about the number of hours I got to sleep the other night because I had to go to bed at a weird time and I had to get up at 4 a.m. to speak at a meeting at 5 a.m. And that, by the way, that's early. Okay. 5 a.m. to speak at a meeting, that's early. And I said, God, please help me on that because I got to have some sleep. And it's not a normal sleep cycle. And I could easily stay in bed. Or in awake for hours before I get any sleep. And God put me to the bed like a little baby. It was incredible. All right. That was selfish. I literally wanted sleep so I'd be alert and awake. But it wasn't for the ends and my means. It was for me to be more effective for what I thought God would be doing with me. And by the way, it was a fun conversation that we had at the group. So that's what I mean by that. We could talk more offline.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you for that answer, Pat. And Rasa, please come in with your question.
Thank you, B. Pat, thank you for this share. It's amazing,
You
truly
are welcome.
amazing. Not very often I hear comparing Big Book to the Bible, and I'm a Bible fan and not a Bible fan. I just find that book incredible.
Yeah.
And I always find a lot of common between them, but very often it's kind of frowned at AA, so I try not to ever compare them. But because you did, I just want to ask you a question now. You talked about the Bible and the Big Book and about your blood clots. So can you comment on coincidences in that
Oh, sure.
in that frame.
Sure. I think, you heard that saying, a coincidence when God is anonymous. It's sort of a cute saying, but I don't know. I mean, coincidence, I believe firmly that everything and nothing is outside of God. In other words, God's present in all things. Either God is everything or God is nothing. So what's my choice? And so that doesn't mean, oh, okay, so are you attributing all evil to God? Well, of course not. No. Humans do selfish, self-centered things, despicable things to one another, and God, in his mercy and grace, redeems that time and figures out a way out of it. But the coincidence factor, I think God uses what I would call the, I have a physical perspective, and then God moves me into a real perspective. And what is a coincidence isn't a coincidence at all. It's been God orchestrating things from behind the scenes all along. And I don't want around. I mean, you go down a rabbit hole with that whole conversation. But the bottom line is, I'm very comfortable giving God credit for God doing God stuff in situation.
Thank you for that, Pat and Raza. And we have a question from the chat. What are some of the fears that interfere with a person's ability to trust God? How can these fears be let go of? I'm having problems trusting.
Oh, I love that question. That first of all, it's a step out of fear to even ask that question in the chat. That's incredible. Whatever the fear is, the reason I have trouble trusting God is because I haven't experienced the love of God in that area of my life. I'm just not convinced that God will love me in that area of my life. I'm just not convinced that God will do really cool God stuff if I give God that area of my life. Present day agnosticism is what keeps me sort of locked up that I have to constantly give to God. And what I mean by that is I don't believe that God will really work out the best for Pat in this situation if I give it to him. And so the things that, that's a beginning answer. And please call me after we could talk more. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. And Tom, please come in with your question.
Hi, Pat. I'm just laughing to myself here because you was basically answering it on the last message, but I suppose I'll go ahead and say what I'm saying. First of all, thank you. God literally was speaking through me. I felt the spirit just come through me as you were speaking. I was tearing up and everything. It was, oh, honestly, unbelievable. Thank you so much. And yeah, I'm just overwhelmed. I suppose what I want to say is that when you were talking about the constant prayer and the constant contact throughout the day or whatever you're doing, I have this thing of doing this and then I start to get a headache doing it. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm like, what? I can't, I keep turning to God and then I'm just fearing if I'm doing the right thing in God's will. I have this fear of, am I doing the right thing? And then I get this fear of punishment. It's like, if I take this road, am I doing the right thing? I'm overthinking what I'm doing constantly. Is this God's will? Is this God's will? And then I'm turning to him constantly, and then I'm just giving myself headache. And I'm like exhausted from just turning to him constantly. So then I get into this mode of just, am I doing the right thing? I suppose it's fear of doing the right thing and then fear of the punishment. And you talk of God of all loving, and I understand that. And to an extent, but then I'm fearing if I do the wrong thing, am I going to suffer the consequences? That's what I suppose. How do I deal with those thoughts? If that made any sense.
That makes a lot of sense. And
Yeah.
let me give you a phrase, okay? I heard this a long time ago and I took it at face value and then I applied it. And it's one of the things that changed my life. Love God with all your heart and soul and then do whatever you want. Now, that sounds outrageous to say that. But if I love God with all my heart and soul and mind, what ends up happening is I want the things of God. And so, whatever I am doing, I'm in with God. And I don't sweat it today, Tom, about, I don't walk around with the, if you're with your best friend, you're living and walking and doing and having events and going where you're going, You're not constantly saying, "Oh, hi, friend. I'm your best friend. Are we here together? Oh, friend, thank you for being." No, you're living and breathing and moving in this relationship with God. You don't sweat it, Tom. Don't sweat it, because God of the universe is powerful enough to make his intentions known to you when he needs to make his intentions known to you. Don't sweat it. He will show you. Seriously.
Thank you, Tom and Pat. And Sandra, please come in with your question.
Hi, Sandra, alcoholic. Oh my God, Pat. You definitely said so many things that I really needed to hear right now. You know, it's interesting. Nothing happens in this world by mistake. I had a sponsor once that sponsored me from a recovery Bible. One of my sons right now is reading the Bible for his own, just for understanding. And for some reason, this keeps coming up, like God keeps placing me. The other day, I called one of my BFFs who's, you know, sober, but also she took me to scriptures, you know, as opposed to, because I was hit with a lot of fear, you know. And I, what I know is that, I know that the soul is under attack. Like if there's a spiritual warfare going on. I'm not confused about that. I'm getting really emotional because I'm moved. I was moved by the Spirit. And there's a part of me, like, I know that God loves me. So I guess my question is, even though knowing this and having this information, there is still sometimes this fear, this underlying fear that this negative energy is after my family. Like my son is locked up, which is a blessing. I'm really glad that's where he's at right now, because I know God has him. But anyway, just moving through the fear.
Yep. I think it's good. First of all, I agree with you. There is spiritual attack in life. You know, those negative thoughts and that stuff does go on, and that's a real and present, you know, present reality. But, you know, even before we started this meeting, Sandra, I want to see, have people in your life that love you enough to pray with you. I went to one of my friends, his name is Jonathan, and we have a Bible study we've been involved in for years and years and years and years. And I called him, I said, "Jonathan, I get a chat. I was just talking to God before I get onto this call right now, what we're doing." And I said, "It just popped. I needed to call you. And so will you pray for me on the time that we're having, that God, that you'd be first of all glorified, that the people would see the love of God and they would see that there's access to God." Right. And so this prayer back to you, Sandra, is this: God is a God of protection, is an absolute God of protection. And there is no evil. There is no nothing that can mess with God's kids. And that is a fact. We can go into a lot more detail, but call me. All right.
Thank you, Sandra, and thank you, Pat. And BB, please come in with your question.
Hey, guys, I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you so much for servicing. It brought me to a lot of tears. Hey, sorry that I was late as well, but when I came in, it was meant for a reason, because you were just talking about sex. And that's very uncomfortable for me, because in my alcoholism, I did a lot of things that was not good.
Yeah, me
so
too.
So when you said talk to God about anything, I'm really feeling a lot of guilt to go to that part. I'm on the fourth step, but I feel like I can't go there. And so how, like what can I say? Like what? I don't know. I'm so ashamed to just go there and talk about that. So,
bless you,
no.
Well, first of all,
thank you
for the question. That's courageous. God is a God of forgiveness. And one of the things that we do, and we're working with our people, is we talk about a God of forgiveness. I absolutely believe that shame and guilt is something that God wants to remove from all of us. I had so much shame in my life, Bridget, about what I did sexually and how I performed and what I was doing, too much to talk about. the bottom line is I take that to God. I wrapped it up. Then God said, oh, God, please take this away. I got to talk to you about it. There's a lot more to it, but God is a God that will forgive. He does forgive. And his part, hardest part is for me to forgive myself. And God's a God of forgiveness, and he'll teach you. More to talk. Give me a holler, or, you know, Tyler's number's up there. Please give Tyler a call. Can you see Tyler's number on there, Bridget? Tyler's, you'll see your, can I see your number out loud? No, I better not, because we're unrecorded. But call, take a screenshot of this, Bridget, and you'll see Tyler's name.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a whole thing that we do in terms of just that forgiveness. But God, you know, when we confess to God what's going on, and we say, God, I can't do better, and I can't believe this happened, God understands that. And trust me on this. He's already paid the price. He looks at you as his loving daughter, and you're pure. You're pure. And I say to God all the time, so God, you can't really view me that way. He says, Pat, I view you in reality. I've cleaned you up. You're just an experience more of what look like being cleaned up looks like. And today, the things, yeah, it's just different. You're gonna be in a road to freedom, girl. You're in a road to freedom.
Amen.
Awesome. Thank you, Bridget and Pat. And Debbie will be our last question. Please come in, Debbie.
Thank you, everyone, for hosting and chairing this meeting. Pat, this is the second time I've heard from you, so I really was wanting to speak up and ask one of the questions I have for you. I've been in the program for a few years now. And, you know, the one thing I hear from you is obviously God throughout your talks and your experience, strength and hope. And, you know, your God, I love how you say that your God is Jesus Christ, and whatever your God is your God. If you were to say, what would be one thing that we would explain to ourselves as well as people that we sponsor as to, I guess the question would be, they say, is God everything or God is nothing? And for me, I guess I learned that when I got into the program prior, like, to that, my dad had passed away right in front of me after speaking to him for two and a half hours. And, you know, for so many years, I wanted to play God. And when I got into this program, you guys taught me that I was not God. Guess what? God mm-hmm. chose me to be in that room mm-hmm. to speak to him for 2 hours before he died. But it took me about 5 years to just the trauma of it. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big God believer now. Whatever God is, there is no such thing as accidents. There's no such thing. How would you explain this? Because we've got people who come into the program, including myself. If I'm not aligned with God, I am doing the wrong thing. I am absolutely spiritually doing the wrong thing. But here's the thing. How do you teach people that it's okay to be imperfect? Because God did not make us to be imperfect. When we're aligned with him, that's when we seek to be the best person we can be.
I love the question, Deb, and I think you already answered the question. You know, the reality is, God, please set aside me everything I think I know. So I may have an open mind for new experience. And, you know, when my first sponsor that actually introduced me to God, he gave me permission to ask God anything and to have any belief that was going on. Because I firmly believe, because from my experience, not that that's always the indicator of truth, but my experience is, if I'm truly seeking to know God, God's knowable by me. As I seek God, God reveals himself to me. We agnostics ends with that. So does Fred Story. You know, when we draw near to God, in other words, I don't have to have all my theology figured out. I don't have to have all my God experience doctrines all figured out. God, you know, God wants relationship. God will figure out all the fine points. God will take care of that stuff. Trust me on that. Mankind has been screwing up all sorts of stuff about thinking this is of God and that's of God. Have a heart for God, and God will reveal himself to us. And by the way, God gives us the heart for God. That's even a gift from God.
Beautiful. Thank you for that question, Debbie and Pat, for your beautiful answers. And over to you, Andy.